I want to talk about burnout. It's something that I'm feeling myself, and it's a topic that's come up frequently in my coaching sessions, where I mostly see corporate professionals in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. These are people who've had long, successful careers, but are feeling stretched too thin. And whether you are in transition in a role that's demanding more from you than ever before, or simply trying to do it all, work and other things, I am dedicating this episode to you. Hi, I'm Renata Bernardi, and this is the Job Hunting Podcast, where I interview experts and professionals and discuss issues that are important for job hunters and those who are working to advance their careers. So make sure that you subscribe and follow, and let's dive right in. First, an update from me. I currently have 3 spots open for private coaching clients. So if you're interested, please go to my website. That's renatabernardi.com, RenataBernardi.com. There's always links on the episode show notes, so follow those as well. And you can book a discovery meeting with me to see if private coaching is for you. Note that I only can engage with a limited number of clients at any one time. So please, if you're interested, be quick. Even if you're planning to start after your holidays, I have a few clients that have already signed up in that same situation. It's just helping me with my planning and help you secure the coaching that you need. On my website, you will also see all the different ways of working with me. It's not just private coaching. You can buy an online course, you can book a one-off consultation, and so on. So there is something there for you, I am absolutely sure, and it will help you advance your career and your goals. Now, let's begin by grounding ourselves in the definition. In 2019, the World Health Organization officially classified burnout as an occupational phenomenon. It's not a medical condition, but it is real. So the WHO described it as a syndrome resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It's marked by 3 dimensions: exhaustion, cynicism, and mental distance from your job. And it results in reduced professional efficacy. So this is the World Health Organization defining something that you and I have felt before. But it's good to know that there's some reports and studies around this, because you don't want to be gaslighted, right? The data supports what I see in my coaching practice, as I said before. And there's a report I read a couple of years ago when I was sort of working on this for my clients that showed that burnout is on the rise, especially amongst Generation Z, millennials, and women. Now, my clients tend to be older than that. Generation X, I'm an X. I have some boomers as well. But the burnout patterns are just as present. For them, it often stems from high responsibility roles, caring for aging parents and partners, and the silent pressure to stay relevant in this changing workplace. I recently also read a personal essay in the Times. I've reread it. It's not that recent. It's probably about 2 years old, but you may have heard of it. The title was My Midlife Burnout: How the Job I Loved Nearly Killed Me. Now, this article really did strike a chord with me, because so many times I felt the same. I loved my job, but it still burned me out anyway. This article became very popular when it was released and made a huge impact on a lot of people. I saw myself in that situation in the past, not exactly right now, and this woman's experience was raw and honest. The author had built a dream career, but eventually she found herself unable to get out of bed. Her burnout kept creeping up over time, unnoticed, until it was undeniable, and she had to do something about it. And that's how it often is, especially for high achievers, which are, you know, usually the clients that seek out coaching. You don't see burnout until your body and your relationships and your motivation forces you to stop. The Guardian published an article called How Burnout Broke Britain. And while it focused on the UK, that sentiment resonated globally. It was another very popular article. I will link those articles for you below in the show notes. It painted burnout not as a personal failure, but a systemic issue. And I think that this is so important to understand. It's not you failing at work. It's the system that's failing us, you see? So we see that work has become unsustainable in the way that it's designed. For too many across sectors and roles are feeling burnout. So there is something wrong with the way that we're working, and not with us so much. And this isn't just about working long hours. There is this other report from the Future Forum, a research group backed by Slack. You may have heard of Slack. You may have used Slack at work. It's a communications app and tool that many offices use. And it highlighted that burnout is also driven by the lack of flexibility. That's why Slack probably sponsored it, because Slack is all about giving you flexibility and different ways of communicating with your team. So the lack of control over your schedule and the emotional toll of working in poorly led environments. I'll repeat that. The emotional toll of working in poorly led environments. I've been trying to convince my business-to-business clients, you know, when I work with corporate clients, that we need to get better at leading people in this sort of flexible hybrid environment. Hybrid work hasn't solved everything. In some cases, it did blur boundaries even more. But that's one more reason why we need better leaders to lead teams that want to work in this flexible work environment. Are you enjoying this episode so far? If so, let me tell you that I have a newsletter as well that includes special content that I only share with my subscribers. I have big, big plans for the newsletter and my subscribers, and I will reach your inbox every week as I have been doing for 7 years now, and I promise it will always be extremely relevant information for you corporate professionals, people who have ambition, people that have 10, 20, 30 years ahead of them. You can sign up on my website. It's renatabernardi.com. It's easy to sign up. There's a link in the episode show notes as well. Just follow the links and sign up and you won't regret it. Thank you so much. Okay, so what do we do about burnout? Here are some thoughts, some gentle advice, and a few strategies that I often offer to my clients. Number one, you have to learn to recognize the sign so that you start pacing yourself and you don't reach the point of no return from burnout. Burnout isn't always loud. For me last week, it was just a combination of factors that just meant I had to slow down. It might show up as irritability, forgetting small things, dreading Monday mornings in a way that feels heavier than usual. If you usually fear Mondays, you know, it will be even worse than that. If you're feeling depleted, not just tired, pay attention to your body and your mind. Then the second thing I'm going to suggest to you is to stop glorifying productivity. Okay, so especially in job hunting, there is this unspoken pressure to be busy all the time, to send hundreds of applications, to try to connect with dozens of people. It's ironic because that doesn't work at all. Usually job hunting done in a more specific, strategic, pointed way works much better than when it's done at scale anyway. Applying for roles nonstop, networking daily, tweaking your LinkedIn profile endlessly. You're not a machine. It won't work that way for you to get a job faster. And then plan a real break. That's the third thing that I'm going to suggest to you. I felt one of the reasons why I brought forward this episode, I was planning this episode for a few weeks further up. But I'm like, no, I need to do this now. It's because I started getting emails from clients that are supposed to be on holidays talking to me about their job search, you know, asking for advice. Look at this job. Let's apply for this. Let's do that. Look at this headhunter who just contacted me. And I am replying because that's my job, but sending them the message as well that the most important thing that they can do now is have a real break. This doesn't mean that you should go and spend a month in Tuscany, although that sounds wonderful. That's probably my dream holiday at the moment. It could be as simple as just taking a few days without any job search activity, without anything to do with work, occupying your brain, give your brain some rest. I'm not just saying this to be nice. I'm saying this because I know that your brain needs to be rewired so that you can be a more efficient professional and a more efficient job seeker. Or at least take Friday afternoons off to do something that restores your energy. If you're employed, consider your leave balance. Do you have a lot of leave? Can you take time off? I remember once telling a client of mine who had no more leave, see if you have a leave there to donate blood and go and donate blood. Do you have a leave to work voluntarily a couple of days? Do that. Just take time out so that you can rest from the daily grind of your job. And I'm not kidding, these things do work. If you are between roles, like many of my clients are, give yourself permission to pause so that you can restore your energy and become a more successful job candidate. Now, I have a fourth recommendation here, and I've recommended this book before. It's a book called Wintering by Catherine May. It's quite funny because I have a friend who is overseas and she's in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment. She's originally from Canada, although she lives here in Australia. And she shared that she was reading Wintering by Catherine May. And I'm like, it's the best book ever. I've read it in summer as well. I've read it again in winter. It's the best book. It's one of my favorite books. I often recommend it to clients, clients who are feeling the pressure of burnout. It's not necessarily about burnout. It's not specifically about burnout, but about the importance of retreating, of resting, and accepting periods in our lives where we don't do much. And it's interesting for me to acknowledge this. I come from South America. I'm Brazilian and I moved here to Australia 24 years ago. And we do have, I'm looking at this beautiful book right now, you know, it's called, I will translate it, it's called Creative Boredom by Domenico Di Masi, which is one of my favorite books. And it hasn't been translated to English. And I think it's not a coincidence. I just think it's a different culture that really doesn't accept the fact that you can have creative boredom, that you can restore yourself and your body. We live in a culture that's way more high performance all the time than the culture that I was brought up in. And even though Domenico is not Brazilian, he's Italian, he's a great social scientist, philosopher, and it's a pity that his ideas have not been translated for the Anglo-Saxon reader. I might have to do that. In fact, I was discussing this with a friend of mine when I was in Brazil, and she said, you should translate it. I'm like, maybe I should. I'll think about it. I would have to translate it from Portuguese. I don't think that that would work, but we'll see. So May from Wintering writes about how winter isn't a failure, but it's a necessary season. I think many of us need to hear that right now, that we need to take a time and hibernate and rest. And then the fifth thing I'm going to recommend is don't go at it alone. You know, whether it's a coach, you know, whether you have the possibility of booking coaching sessions with somebody like me, or you might need some additional support like a therapist or a counselor, or it's a trusted friend, a trusted colleague, somebody that you can talk to is so important because burnout thrives in silence. burnout thrives in silence. Sometimes just naming what you're going through lifts the weight from you. You don't need to fix it right away. It's hard to fix it when you're deep into burnout, but start by speaking about it out loud and sharing it with somebody you trust. Consider what boundaries you need to redraw, right? So that's another important advice. Whether you are job seeking or you are in a full-time role, it's easy to default to yes mode. Yes, yes, yes. Yes to more tasks. Yes to more meetings. Yes to more commitments, because you think that by doing all the yeses, you will advance your career faster. I want you to start noticing what drains you and see where you can say no to, or even not right now if you're not ready for no. And lastly, I want to share a reminder with you that rest is part of progress. If you're listening to this while powering through your to-do list, consider this as a sign to stop, right? When people book consultations with me to prep for interviews, the first thing I talk to them is about resting techniques, sleeping, you know, and making sure that they are restored for what is a very competitive conversation. They will be having a conversation with a selection panel, and then they will walk out and the selection panel will see 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many other job candidates. And you have to be in peak performance during that time. And you cannot do that if you're burnt out and tired and anxious and all of those things, right? So interview preparation when you work with a coach should start from that holistic level, from that baseline level, to then discuss things like answer it, behavioral questions, and all the things that you know you want to talk about. But, you know, consider this your sign to stop. If you're listening to this episode and you've been listening for a few minutes now, I think you're probably in need to hear these things. Make a cup of tea, take a walk, read something for pleasure, not for work. Do nothing for a while. People think it's really weird that when I travel long distance, which I have to do often because I'm in Australia and my family's overseas, that I do nothing on the plane, and I really don't do anything. I don't do much at all. I read a little bit. I hardly see any movies. I know people love to see that. I just want to rest my mind because I find it very stressful to be on the plane. So I try to sleep as much as I can. And if I don't sleep, I do nothing. And it sounds super boring, and it is. And I do that on purpose, right? Your career will still be there when you return from rest. So when you are hurt, when you are tired, exhausted, lacking sleep, burnt out, everything you do is harder to do. Thinking clearly, making decisions, showing up as your best self. I work with people that need to do those things well in order to get jobs. So preventing it or recovering from it is part of your career strategy, you see? My clients who are already familiar with this aspect of my coaching know how many techniques I have that I share with them behind my firewall, working with my clients, and even in my online courses, I already share lots of them to help prevent this from negatively affecting their job search. And I hope that this podcast episode helps you identify the importance of taking care of yourself if you're ambitious for your career or even currently looking for work. That's it from me today. It's a shorter episode because I'm also practicing what I preach. I'm not 100% this week, and I'm making sure I rest as much as I can. If this resonated with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear this as much as you do. And if you're taking a break, enjoy it without any guilt. If you have time, can I please ask you to give this podcast a 5-star review wherever you found it? It could be Spotify, it could be Apple Podcasts. There are other apps that have the review built in as well. Writing a review on Apple Podcasts, you have no idea what that means to us. It boosts our reach. It brings more listeners to our little podcast, and it makes a whole lot of difference for my business as a coach. Do you know that you can also watch us on YouTube? If you feel like looking at my face and feel like you want to be talking to me, I'm actually, you know, looking at the camera as much as I can. And I would love for you to share this time with me. I'm in my office, as you can see. I have a little dog that I'm dog sitting here today. His name is Rambo. I had to take him out because he was barking a little bit. But I often have pets from my friends staying with me, and you can see them on YouTube if you feel like, you know, enjoying the podcast in a different way. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.